Now that brings us to the end of that chapter, and I want to move now into chapter 4. And we find here, again, he says, "Hear, ye children." And that includes, I think, all of the children, young and old, male and female. "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son." Now, Solomon wrote this. He's talking about his own father. And notice, "I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Now, there are those that feel like that what you have here, that the father's heart was wrapped up in this boy Solomon. I don't see it like that. I think the historical books that tell us the life of David and Solomon reveal that Solomon was not the choice, the first choice of his father. And Solomon was not the one that I'm confident that David would have chosen. I don't think that this boy, brought up in the women's palace and brought up as more or less of a sissy. I've always felt Solomon was that type of a man. And he was a playboy. And David didn't have too much in common with him. But David gave him advice. And he may not have given it to him in a way that the boy would accept it. But he says, "I'm a father's son, but it was tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. It was my mother that really loved me and taught me." And he says, "He taught me also." I think David gave him a great deal of advice. And you remember when he was made king, David said to him, "Play the man." I don't think David felt he would play the man. But he taught him, and he said unto me, "Let thy heart retain my words, and keep my commandments and live." He said, "I've learned by experience that you better obey the Lord." And I think that probably David was not as kind in teaching this son as he probably could have been. As we've said before, I've never felt David was a success as a father. And that's been true of a great many men. But the unfortunate thing that the life of David was something that he could emulate. Now, I know there are those going to write in and say, "Yes, but look what David did. He did that before Solomon came along, and he didn't live like that." David turned from that type of a life altogether. Now let's move along, because he's now giving advice. Solomon is to a young man, and he's really laying it on the line. Get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not, neither decline from the sayings of my mouth. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Now wisdom here will be depicted as one who keeps a school, as she sent out her catalog. And the other one, the stranger woman, she's bidding for the interest of the young man also. And now wisdom is urging him to come to her school that he might be wise. And now Solomon is saying, "Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." And that, I think, is probably the difference today in men at the present time in relation to this matter of education and of knowledge and of learning. Do we love wisdom? Do we love the Word of God? The interesting thing is that human knowledge, as Pascal said, it must be understood to be loved, but divine knowledge must be loved to be understood. And so if you're going to understand the Word of God, there are several things you got to bring to it, and that's a love for the Word of God. And then you bring to it a mind that's willing to be taught, that the Spirit of God can open up the great truths to you. How important it is to see that. Listen to the way he speaks of wisdom. "Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." it's not just knowledge. It's not just to have a computer mind. We seem to have quite a few of those around. But it's wisdom and intelligence to use knowledge aright and to have a love for it. And that is something that the soul of man needs. The reason that education is not satisfying is because the way it's dished out. The most impressive thing here is that we are therefore to get wisdom. How important this is. And he says, exalt her. She shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thy head a chaplet of grace, a diadem of beauty shall she deliver. The very interesting thing here is that wisdom is like a love for a woman, that it's to be like that. And now when you come to the New Testament, it's changed. Christ has been made unto us wisdom, and we're to love him. The real difficulty today is not that there are problems in the Bible. The real difficulty today that in man there's not that love and longing for God and for the things of God. When that is there, then this book will begin to open up because the Spirit of God will become the teacher. This is very important that we're in right now, friends. Let's not pass it over lightly. We read here in verse 10, "Hear, O my son." It sounds to me like it's Bathsheba talking to Solomon. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy step shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." What a wonderful call it is to this young man now to seek wisdom. And he's told here in verse 13, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go." Notice the language there. Take fast hold of instruction. This is something that should have top priority. Be sure and learn all that you can. "Let her not go. Keep her, for she's thy life. Enter not into the path of the lawless, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, and pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away." As we said before, the warning all the way through here is against the evil man and the stranger woman. That woman is a prostitute, of course, and I think we'll see it also has a spiritual application. Now we are told here, verse 16, "For they sleep not except they've done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of lawlessness and drink the wine of violence." Now here is something that I think God's people need to learn. You hear it said sometime, "I don't see how that man could do a thing like that. I do not see how that woman could live that kind of a life. How can she live with herself?" May I say to you that these folk couldn't live with themselves if they didn't do these things. And you and I do not know how desperate and how deep the human heart can go into sin. There is nothing that the human mind and heart will not conceive of. This is something that is tremendous that is given here. We need to learn that in life, that out in this world we're in today, you're not meeting nice people all the time. You have to be very careful of who you meet. There's some people that will be very wonderful. One of the greatest experiences I've had was as a pastor. And when I was a pastor in downtown Los Angeles, every day that I went in, I prayed in the car going in. When you ride these freeways here in Southern California, you'll do well to pray. But I prayed about really something else. My prayer always went something like this: "Lord, I'm going to meet new people today. Some of those people I can help, and some of those would hurt me. Help me to be able to tell the difference." And the man that needs help me, I put my arm around him. But the man that would put a knife in my back helped me to avoid him. That's very important, I think, that we need to recognize we live in that kind of a world. And I found out that there are certain men that will become wonderful friends, bosom friends. And I thank God for those men. Men like that made this radio possible. And then there have been men that have tried to destroy it. They've actually professed to be Christian. And it's difficult really to understand their thinking. But the human heart is not to be trusted. And we need to be very careful. We need to be able to distinguish the things that differ. And we need to be able to meet mankind and to have a discernment. My, how that's needed. Now let me move on down here to verse 18 of this fourth chapter of Proverbs. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You meet those wonderful folk like that, the wonderful saints of God that you meet today. But in contrast, the way of the lawless is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. Now, there are two ways that are opened up here. And one way is the way the righteous go. It's a shining light and shineth more and more into the perfect day. Now, there's another way, the lawless. Somebody says, this reminds me of the broad way the Lord talked about and the narrow way. And I do not believe that there's anything been as misunderstood as what he said in that connection. The idea today, and I can remember as a boy, they talked about the broad way and the narrow way. And I'll be very frank, as a boy, if you'd have said to me, which way would you think would be the best way to go? I would immediately have said, I think you could have more fun on the broad way. And unfortunately, I think that's the impression that's been given. And I don't think that that's accurate at all, very frankly. The picture's altogether different. The broad way, and believe me, it's a wide one today. And that's where the mob is. That's where the crowd is. I tell you that they are having Vanity Fair down that way all the time. A carnival is going on. And by the way, that word carnival comes from the word carnal. And that has to do with the flesh. Oh, I tell you, down there is that place where you can indulge the flesh. And they call that the way of liberty. My, we hear that we're living in a new age and you're to do as you please. It's a broad way. It certainly is. That is when you enter it. But if you'll notice that this way that opens up, it gets narrower and narrower and narrower. It doesn't get wider. The way of the lawless is as dark. It's a dark way. There are lights up at the entrance, but when you get down a little ways, there are no lights, and they don't even know what they're stumbling at. That's the broad way, and it leads. The Lord Jesus, I think, made it clear that the broad way keeps getting narrower and narrower. It's just like going in at the big end of a funnel, and that's the wrong end of a funnel to go in. You go in the big end, and as you go in and start moving through it, it gets narrower and narrower and narrower until finally it's destruction. Now, the narrow way, that's the way that it's very narrow. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. There are not two or three of them. It's not wide. It's the Lord Jesus. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. That's the broad way. But there is a way, and that way is Christ. And Peter said to his people, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, my friend, you can't make it any narrower than that. He says, I am the door, though. By me, if any man enter in, what shall he do? He's going to find pasture and life. You see, it's narrow as you enter, but it gets wider and wider and wider and wider. That's the end of the funnel. that we need to go in. That end is labeled the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the picture that is here. And that is what he's saying. And in verse 20, my son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them and healing to all their flesh. And this is the word that the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And the words are life. It was said by one man of another great man of the past that his words were so wonderful that if you'd cut them, they would bleed. Living words, if you please. And that's what the words in the Word of God are. If you cut them, they're going to bleed. They're living words. They bring life to you. And they bring light to you. They bring instruction and direction and joy. All comes through the Word of God. Now, verse 23 is one of the great verses of the book of Proverbs. Keep thy heart above all keeping. That is the one translation that, and I've noticed that I every now and then revert to another. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Above all keeping. This is the one thing you're to do, for out of it are the issues of life. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and it's the heart that pumps that blood. And you remember, it wasn't until Harvey, back in the 18th century, he was taking a bath. And that's when he discovered the circulation of the blood. And that revolutionized medical science. And here, in the book of Proverbs, it's just very calmly taken for granted. That which revolutionized medical science. Keep thy heart above all you're keeping, for out of it are the issues of life. And the Lord Jesus said, it isn't what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of the man. And then he said, out of the heart. And the Lord gave the list of the things that come out of the heart. And I tell you, some of the meanest things in the world can come out of the human heart. The heart is the seat of the total personality. You want to know how important the heart is, you ought to get a concordance. And look up in the Bible the references that there are to the heart. And it was Harvey that made that discovery that the blood circulates. And we're told in that apocryphal book, the Epistle of Barnabas, it tells about a mythical phoenix, a bird that consumes itself by fire and rises in resurrection. May I say to you, that is as phony a statement as it was ever made. But that's not in the Bible. That's in Greek mythology. But here's a statement that's made here, and science has demonstrated it, that it's true. And in the book of Proverbs, friends, they bear no unscientific statement or inaccurate observation. What a wonderful statement this is here. And believe me, out of our hearts, and we're to keep our hearts. All diligence. It's important what you hear. It's important what you study. It's important what you see. Because I tell you, this heart that you and I got, it just can't be trusted. And we need to recognize that out of that heart will come all of the great issues of our life. Now he goes on to say, put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips, put far from thee. Now, you see, it's the heart that these things come out of, but it's the mouth and the lips that'll do the speaking. Somebody has put it like this, that what is in the well of the heart will come up through the bucket of the mouth. And how true that is, because sooner or later the mouth is going to give you away. The mouth tells where you're from, what section of the country that you're from, and it certainly gives you away. I was riding on the train, and this was a very lovely thing that happened. And I went in for breakfast in the morning, and I was glad to get back to train travel. It was such a thrill to me. And I was just sitting there looking at the scenery. We were going over by Flagstaff, Arizona, and they had had a late spring snow. Oh, it was so pretty. And I was sitting there looking at it. Now, that's the way I wanted to take it. I wouldn't want to be out in it, but just to sit there and look out at it. So lovely, so pretty. And the steward there, in charge of the dining room, he leaned down to me. He says, some friends of yours, your students, across the way here, want to pay for your breakfast. Isn't that a lovely thing to do? And I looked over there, and these folk, a lovely couple, were smiling at me. And so I got up and went over and shook hands with them, found out they listened to our radio program, and I began to talk to them. And I noticed another couple back of them were very much interested. And so a little later, they met me in the lounge, and they said to me, "You're Dr. McGee?" And I said, "Yes." Well, they said, "We recognize that voice. We listened to you in Peoria, Illinois. And my, you know that we found two or three there. And the thing that gave me away is my mouth. It just told who I am. You can't obscure things like that. Out of the mouth. And we need to be careful what comes out of the mouth." Miss McGee and I were way up in the northwest, little town. We just went in to sit down and have lunch. And we were talking, and we noticed the waitress was very much interested. And finally, she just butted right in. She says, "Aren't you Dr. McGee?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "How'd you know me?" Well, she said, "I had never seen you before, but I listened to you on the radio." And my wife said to me afterwards, says, "You sure better be careful what you say, because you are recognized sometimes when you don't think you're being recognized." Out of the heart, these things are going to come up through the bucket of the mouth, and the mouth just gives us away who we are, tells all about us. Now, he says, here's something about the eyes. Verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." That's one thing the young man in life is to do. Ruin your career. A man told me, he says, "As a young man, I ruined my life by having an arrest, and I have a record." And he says, "You know, that thing confronts me again and again, and it has in this life." How careful the young man needs to be.